Interview with the Podcast Vampire is a retrospective on the filmography of living legend Tom Cruise, hosted by Dale _A, Jonesy Loves Beer, and Slim.
The Right Moves, starring our dear friend Tom Cruise. Huge episode, interview with the Podcast Vampire. Jonesy Loves Beer is a co-host on the show. He's a writer. So we're going to talk about a movie with a real-life writer. We've got the star of the show, Silver Fox, Dale _A, VP of merch, putting this whole thing together. Thanks for being here, both of you.
I thank you for having me. More importantly, I thank our Lord and Savior, Tom, for making this film.
Dale, you probably are over the moon because we had a rough outing last episode, and now you have Tom in his glory as a football star.
Yeah, you know what? This is what I like to call the Tom sweet spot. Yeah, this is hitting it. We're already on a streak that started last episode with a wonderful 80s teenage horn dog comedy / drama, real life drama, as Jonesy would probably put. And what we have here is, you know, well, let's let Jonesy. I am over the moon though.
Yeah, Jonesy, can you walk us through All the Right Moves, 1983, set the stage for us for Tom?
I would be happy to take both of your hands, hold them close to my heart, and take a walk down the coal-filled hills of Pennsylvania, Johnstown, a small coal mining community, and talk about their passion for high school football. Tom Cruise stars as a bright star of the local Ampipe football team, Johnstown, Pennsylvania, 1980s. He is the prospect, if you will, one of many prospects on that team to go play for big college ball. Secretly wants to be an engineer, knows that a 5 foot nothing, 200 nothing football star won't make it in the pros. So he's got a good head on his shoulder. He wants to pay for his engineering degree with his football machismo. So he's got it all. He's on cloud nine. You know, believe it or not, he's walking on air. He's got a young, gorgeous Leah Thompson, you know, high school band saxophone player.
Stunningly
plays
gorgeous.
Plays that saxophone in the moonlight for him. You know, he wants it all. Maybe he'll get it all, if you know what I'm saying right now. And Tom, you know, they go to Craig T. Nelson, the coach himself, his first role as a coach, foreshadowing things to come here in All the Right Moves. He is also up to move up to the pros. You know, big college ball. So, you know, everybody is on the verge, on the tip of this film. Burgeoning careers, all by everyone.
The tip.
So the team, the Ampipes, go against the undefeated team of the state, the big game, if you will, and they are crushing it. That is until the very last possible moment. you see a couple bad things happen in a row. You know, Tom, Stefan in this film. We're going to call him Tom because I don't even know his character names. Stefan, you know, may have got holding, flag on the play. You know, a couple things that really add up. I don't even know. Is it holding?
We're gonna have to speed it up. This could be a 20-minute.
Sorry. All right.
description of a movie.
I'm not going to give you the play-by-play, as it were.
Thank you.
They lose the big game. Tom mouths off. You know, Craig T. Nelson under a lot of pressure. Boots Tom, says, "You know what, Tom? You're out. You're off the team." You know, Tom gets drunk, as a high school kid in Pennsylvania will do. Ends up, you know, helping to trash Craig T. Nelson's house. Vandalize it. And guess what? There's no getting back on the team for him because now that the bond of trust is broken. Tom goes, you know, to downward spiral that beautiful Leah Thompson helps him come back from. You know, he's basically going to live a small town life. And, but a real heartfelt apology to Craig T. Nelson's wife about what they did to their home and fretting their child makes Craig T. Nelson think twice. And maybe Tom gets that scholarship he needs.
When you make the
because
right
he's made
move.
All the right moves. Dad, I don't know if that was any more perfect. You came right in and backed me up as I said the title. That was amazing. Let's just take my explanation out in post.
Dale, what did you think going into this movie? You need a win.
Yes, yeah.
For us. How did you feel? You know, this Jan de Bont cinematography. You know, we all love Jan. Minority Report, executive producer.
Wow. Could you?
Yeah, how did it feel?
Okay. Well, this was like, I don't even know how to explain what I saw. I liked the movie. But more as like trying to understand. Now this is the early 80s. This is an 80s movie. So, and there was a lot more of these kind of movies where nothing happens really, as compared to at least to the last 15, 20 years of movies in my eyes. But reality is, I was waiting for Tom Stefan Georgievich to become an engineer or go to college. That was his dream. But when I realized that it took 40 minutes of the movie for him to get kicked off the team, I was like, this.
Of which the movie's only an hour and a half.
Right, yeah. I don't want to say bewildered, but it's like a spectacle that not a whole lot happened in the movie. But I'm also fascinated with the fact that this is what, you know, this is a suburb of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's a steel town. The high school is named after the American Pipe and Steel Company, the Ampipe High School and the Ampipe football team. It's like that stuff fascinated me, and the fact that these high school seniors were relegating themselves to be just like their fathers and their grandfathers before them, because that was life in these steel towns.
They took vacations at the Jersey Shore. Their fathers fought the Second World War.
Jonesy Loves Beer, ladies and gentlemen, writer.
They come to me. You know what I mean?
Mixed to red blue.
He barely even warranted like a kickoff of the team. I mean, he mouthed off to the coach.
He was protecting the kid.
He was protecting another player who ended up hitting a downward spiral. This guy, the guy that, maybe I should back up. Craig T. Nelson, I feel, one of his worst roles ever. I felt like he phoned this in so hard. The time where he was yelling at the kid and
can I say the line? Pulling him around with a mask was like a real line through.
That wasn't even a real line.
Talk about as good as a jelly donut. You know that? That was nothing. You call that nuts? Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Jesus, you're pissing me off. You want to play against Walnut Heights?
Yes, sir.
Then you got to get vicious. You're a dog, right?
Yes, sir.
I want you pissing on every fire hydrant in Walnut Heights tonight. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Get down on your knees. Now growl. You bite. You dig.
That block was as good as a jelly donut.
You want to go to college? Yes, sir.
Right, which means what, Craig T? I'm glad this all stuck out in all of our minds because now you guys know what I'm saying, but his schooling of that high school, that football player with him twirling around, it was like he was doing the same parody as the parody Michael Jackson in The Naked Gun when Michael Jackson's on stage at the award show and like his hair catches fire. He's like spinning around doing some sort of coach ballet all the while, like holding on to this kid's football mask. He's like spinning every which way, trying to school him.
And his golf club, that which was kind of his thing, he coached with holding a putter for some reason.
That had to be an homage to somebody that we just didn't get.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, that scene was so poorly acted. It felt like he didn't realize the camera was on. And the director was like, can you just run through that scene, make sure you had the lines right? And he did it. And they just made that the scene of the movie. It was so bad. And the overall picture, by the last 2 minutes of the movie, I was sitting there. I was like, this is the most depressing movie of all time.
Yes.
His life is over. He's going to be living in this town forever. His dad didn't even give a crap that he got kicked off the football team, ruining his future.
For standing up for his teammate. I mean, he gave it to Craig T just like Coach gave it to him. I mean, it was totally fair if there is a fairness in the bloody game of high school football where, you know, the program happens and people get their urine changed out so they can pass blood tests.
It felt like an after-school special. And Chris Penn, making a shocking appearance in this movie, was the star defense player.
He's going to USC.
Of this team. And then he reveals shockingly before the pep rally that he got his girlfriend pregnant. And I think she was going to have twins. His life is over
They got married over a random weekend, and they still had to go to high school on that following Monday. Like, that was their... That's it for them.
Yeah. He might as well just... It's over.
I was quaking in my boots. just thinking back, like, how badly it could be. But that's just the way it was. I mean, and it real life, too, but... It was just crazy.
Well, he delivered this hilarious line at the wedding or right before the wedding where he had said...
Tracy always wanted a big wedding with a long gown.
Every girl does, I guess.
So like, you're like 16.
I know.
How many conversations are you guys having about what kind of a wedding she has?
And then
several times.
He says creepily to Tommy, he's like, I got what I always wanted. No, you okay, at 15 you're like, I really want to be married next year.
Right. That's what two 15-year-old lovebirds say to each other, but they don't know. Like looking from our station in lives, looking back to when, you know, how young they were. That's the game you talk, but you know it's nothing like that. It was crazy.
The one part that I actually really liked was when John Locke from Lost was like this recruiter.
Oh, yeah, Terry O'Quinn.
Came and talked to Tom Cruise about his school. They were giving him a full scholarship. You know, maybe you could play pro ball. Who knows? And he acutely even said, he's like, I have no chance at playing pro ball. I'm using this to get an education and to become an engineer. And I was like, whoa, this, you know, he's pretty smart. That's a pretty smart thing to say as a kid, you know, entering college. And then he like balks at their offer. And he's like, I'll get other offers. We'll see how it goes. And but even then, he still just makes boneheaded decisions. Like, he goes to trash the coach's house with this dope principal. The principal could be a whole other podcast in and of itself. This guy grew up in the town and is just like the town drunk, but he's also the principal of the town or the principal of the school.
Was he the principal?
Not only that, but he basically beats up one of his students in a bar.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the film.
That's not the principal.
Really gross. I'm pretty sure that was a principal.
I want to agree with Slim on this one.
Well, he was wearing a suit at the pep rally.
You know what, Slim? Maybe you're wrong. That was a different guy at the podium.
It was just another chunky steel worker.
With a mustache.
With a mustache. It was outside of Pittsburgh in the early 80s. Everybody had mustaches.
I will tell you, watching this film, I mean, this could have been Scranton, PA. I mean, like, I thought I was watching this film. I thought I was walking down Main Street of my wife's hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the house, like the house, the military style housing.
Well, you know what this, you know what this absolutely was, and you can't deny it. The way Tom Cruise dressed outside in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, this is a young Jack Reacher.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. This is the young Jack Reacher.
He's wearing Henleys and flannels in Pittsburgh. Like a total Jack Reacher moment.
Be amazing if his Serbian American character actually grows up to be Jack Reacher.
Yeah, Stefan George.
That
Pitch.
Would be absolutely effing amazing. He has all the right moves.
It was weird that I looked up in the wiki and they pointed him out as Serbian American, but maybe was his mother Serbian? Because his dad just looked like a well to do American Italian.
Doesn't
man.
He get called a Polack at some point?
I don't know because I was just really taken aback by how well he buttoned his coat towards the end of the movie at that bar. Like, this guy doesn't belong in this bar, the way he's buttoning that coat.
He could pass for Serbian, I think. I thought Italian at first until somebody called him a Polack, and then I was like, he could be Polack, I guess. A tan George Hamilton Polack.
Do we remember the principal, pseudo-principal's name in the movie? Because I'm looking up the...
While you're looking that up, let me give you some IMDb trivia.
Please.
The director wanted Leah Thompson and Tom Cruise to go undercover to remember what high school was like. They went to separate schools, and while Cruise was spotted after just one day because someone recognized him from Taps, Thompson went 4 days, was asked out by many guys, and got caught smoking.
Leah Thompson is gorgeous in this movie.
God,
she's beautiful.
A knockout. A knockout.
First result for All the Right Moves principal Google result. The text is Bosco the principal of Ampi Pi?
Is this you?
Get out of here.
Is this you from the future?
I swear. Bosco. That was his name.
Dirtbag.
I don't know the answer. Maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. Nobody knows.
That's what makes this such an art housey kind of film. Like the feel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have a guy like Bosco that could run the whole school and also assault a student in a bar.
Well, it is small town Pennsylvania, so I believe that.
High school football, it's like kind of Friday Night Lights-ish.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, that football game where they scored a touchdown to take the lead, then they lost it, where they scored two. And so they had the lead after his interception touchdown. And one of the biggest boneheaded coaching decisions in history by Craig T. Nelson cost them the game. They have the ball in the end zone with like 2 seconds left. Mm-hmm. He could willingly take the safety and still win the game, but they decided to do a running play in the end zone, and they lose it, and it's a touchdown for the team. Like, he should never get that coaching job. Right. They should rescind the coaching offer that he had gotten, and he should be a homeless vagrant after that play.
Oh my gosh. You're out gunning for Craig T.
I mean, I'm not even a huge football fan, but I know that is the worst play calling decision in the history of the game, in the history of high school football. He should have been fired after that game.
I concur.
Jonesy knows. He's in the streets of Scranton, walking the streets.
I could be.
Wearing flannel.
I love Coal Region, Pennsylvania. If I could retire there, if my wife would be willing to retire there, I would.
Jonesy, you're the Bosco of Scranton.
I know. You'll be there. You'll be
at
the bar.
Nicer, less violent Bosco? I mean, do I have to beat up my high school students or?
You'll be at the bar in the neighborhood that's really a house on the inside with a pool table.
Yeah, the Hibernian house. I've been there.
So wait, you would, if your wife wanted to move to Scranton next year, would you
maybe
do it?
Maybe not Scranton, but definitely, like, I would move to Frackville.
I don't know what that is. You just made that up.
I wouldn't. No, it's not.
Jerksville.
I would move to St. Clair. I would move to Ashland.
You're just dropping knowledge to impress.
Jonesy's just dropping names of Scranton areas. Mechanicsburg. Is that in that area?
No.
Mechanicsburg is actually...
Jonesy was reviled by that idea.
It's the Hatfields and McCoys of central Pennsylvania.
Good grief. Would you go to like the races every weekend, see the car races if you move up there?
Listen, it's, why are you going to stereotype?
You want to? That's all. You want to move there, Jonesy?
I do. I no. I want to listen. If you, it's gorgeous up there. The mountain air. Every view you look at is GD gorgeous. Pints of beer are 75 cents a pint, and that's not a special. That's the price. I mean, it's just a different world up there.
I don't know if that's really selling me. I mean, you're smelling different air getting out of bed as you walk to get beer. You know, Jens, you'll be dead in six months.
You've ever seen Nothing But Trouble, it's all true. The tunnels underneath Central Pennsylvania is on fire.
Nothing But Trouble. Hang on. Trivia, real life IMDb trivia. Nothing But Trouble was filmed in Gilberton, which is the next town over from my wife's hometown. See? I've driven by that coal mining facility 100 times. And each time my wife reminds me that that was the coal mining facility from
Gilbertville. Sounds like a town that's
Gilberton,
near that area.
Next to Gilberton.
Still.
Get it right or pay the price.
You said Gilbert Town when
I
you
did
first
not.
Said
Check
it.
The tape. Gilberton. Check the tape.
See, there wasn't a whole lot of substance to all the right moves. We've been talking about Jonesy moving to Scranton for the past 15
for
minutes.
10 minutes. I get all the right moves. All said and done, I enjoyed this movie. It's very short. It didn't need a lot of brain power.
Yeah.
And it was fun. And Leah Thompson is a knockout. So you can't go wrong.
Yeah, I did. I think, overall, I enjoyed the movie as well with Jonesy. It's a different sort of animal because you're just not used to this type of movie. We like to call them when we do comics, the slice of life comic, which is charming. Very charming in their own right. And this is like a slice of life movie where they must have paid, spent $10 to $20 million to make it, and it's not about a whole lot of anything, but it's got star power. And
I tell you, Tom's chops came out in this movie too. Like, I think maybe for the first time, like, he was good in Taps, but that speech he gives to Craig T. Nelson outside the bar, where he's like, "You're not God, you're just a typist or a type teacher."
Yeah.
Whatever that line is. I mean,
and this is,
I felt it.
This is total Tom's like first role where he's got his Tom Cruise hair. Because the previous movies he had this light chestnut brown fluffy hair, but this was like constantly wet looking and black.
Yeah.
Wow. Like
he wouldn't be able to sit near an open flame.
Yeah.
It'd be over.
Let me jump in. Michael Chapman directed this film, also directed Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, The Fugitive.
Man, alive.
And All the Right Moves.
All the right
Taxi Driver
moves.
And Raging Bull. Aren't those Martin Scorsese movies?
Yes.
check this. I'm an idiot, and I read the wrong IMDb page.
He also directed the Indiana Jones movies, I think.
Scorsese?
Hang on here. He's got actor credits in his movie. Sorry, hang on.
That's the movie database out
Typical
of
Jonesy.
Gilberton.
I hope Jonesy chokes on his own spit and dies. What a terrible human being, right? What a piece of human
excrement. Gilberton IMDb wiki. Yeah.
I maintain that server.
There's not a lot of information coming in and out of that thing, but
he did actually direct Peter Gabriel Live in Athens. He directed
Terminator 2.
He directed
Jaws,
the Viking sagas.
Wrote and directed Jaws.
Let's be honest, he first film All the Right Moves, didn't direct again to The Clan of the Cave Bear in 86.
Ooh.
So, followed by a movie called Annihilator that has no IMDb cover art, so there you go.
Not a good sign.
Then he didn't direct again until 1995. And then not again after that till 2013, where he does Peter Gabriel Live in Athens.
Wow.
Good for him.
What if Peter Gabriel sought him out?
He's like, "I love Raging Bull. Can you do my music video?"
Yeah, he's got the printout of the Gilbert wiki in his
Gilbert
hand, like MapQuest.
You are
taxi
just in the front. To the good people of Gilbert.
Taxi Driver, Michael Chapman. I really like it. I want you to record me singing.
There you have it, folks.
I want you to record me
All
singing
right
Salisbury
moves.
Hill.
In Athens. What a movie. There you have it. All the Right Moves. Yeah.
What do we have next, Slim? You want to tell the world?
I'm not sure. Is the world
it's
ready?
Risky. It's risky. Don't tell
for,
them. It's too risky.
For what's coming next, an interview with a podcast vampire, risky business.
God. And it's all down here from here, right?
I don't know what you just said.
All down here from here, right?
Babe. We got a lot of... I mean, after Risky Business, I don't want to frighten anybody, but we got Legend, Top Gun, Color of Money, Cocktail, Rain Man, Born on the 4th.
Born on the 4th, the Vietnam movie. Oh, God.
Have we all seen the preview for Mission Impossible 5?
Oh, my God. Rogue Nation?
Oh, man. Boy. You know, I toyed with the idea of us doing a special edition episode of that movie and going against the grain and not doing an order, but, you know, we'll have to think
in
about
case
it.
We never finish this podcast run, you mean? We never get it that high.
In case Jonesy moves to the mountain air and never comes back.
I'm going to wear denim, just a lot of denim.
Hopefully it's after we do Risky Business, directed by Stanley Kubrick. Then feel free to move wherever you want to, Jonesy.
I deserve that, okay? I deserve
it. We'll see everybody next month.
Ish.
That joke was like a jelly donut.